Much like a picture of a loved one, so too the Word of God is that wonderful picture of our elder brother, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll learn about him next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us, won't you? On behalf of United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Each day we come to you for a few minutes with a brilliant look at God's Word. And today, it's our hope and prayer that you come away with a new and fresh view of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching, teaching, and study of God's Word. Won't you join us with this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's our teacher and pastor now, Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us on this Tuesday session of Abounding Grace, and we're picking up in our discussion that we left off yesterday with justification and the implications of it in our lives. And I left off yesterday, I want to begin with this, with something that's so important. I referenced an article that I stumbled on in Modern Reformation magazine entitled The Art of Self-Justification. And there, the writer, under the section, Who Needs Justification, makes some very amazing statements. God justifies the wicked. He says, that's pretty radical. It's more radical than the claim that God heals the morally sick or gives grace to those who are willing to cooperate it, or that he rewards those who are trying to do their best. But his point was, we don't have to deny justification outright. Most evangelical Christians, of course, would agree. Oh yeah, we're justified by faith alone. He says, it's just irrelevant to us when we stop asking the most important question. And then he gives examples of the current trends in Christianity. And these are the trendy questions we're getting today. Having trouble with the marriage or kids? He says, sure. Not living up to expectations? He says, doesn't everyone? Not getting the most out of your life and need some fresh advice? I'm all ears. And I'm going to add, you could answer all these questions. Oprah or Dr. Phil could answer all these questions for us. But then the writer says this, we don't care about sinners being in the hands of an angry God. And if we don't sense this need, we don't cry out for a great Savior. And his point was, when God doesn't become a problem for Christianity, but instead a big therapy icon for moral causes, justification becomes an empty symbol. That is so true. And sadly, what's happened today? And he ends the article by saying, justification should be so impactive to the Christian's heart that it affects all aspects of human life. Well, today I want to look at and show you how true that is in Romans chapter 5. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, let's start by looking at this language of peace. There are two different kinds of peace that the Bible often speaks of. I like to speak of an objective peace and a subjective peace that we experience in our hearts. Subjectively being what I experience, and some objective peace being what God brings. So, for instance, when we think about the book of Philippians, it's said there, whenever trials or anxieties that we're going through, whatever we're facing all these things and our hearts are stirred up, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the kind of peace that God gives us for the various trials and sufferings that we face in this life as Christians when we cry out to him. And he showers down a certain peace through the perspective. Notice that's the peace of God. But in Romans chapter 5, he's speaking of something different. He says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Notice that it's peace with him. Here he's talking about the reconciliation that God has performed totally outside of us to reconcile us to himself. Now, let me say, this statement will have little impact upon us if we have refused to hear the first part of Romans, or if we have refused to hear God's description of our sinful natures and don't like to talk about our sin and misery. If we don't like that kind of stuff, then the statements of gospel don't take on as much meaning. The statements of gospel are set in sharp contrast to the really dark reality the Bible paints about our sinful natures and how great God's wrath is against sin. And if you Don't firmly grasp that. Just go back and read Romans chapter 1. And Paul labored to describe the horrible reality of what it means to be outside of Jesus Christ. Who can forget what Jesus said, standing up in front of the multitudes and constantly talking about hell and these sort of things? In John 3:36, he who believes the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not have life or shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides, that's in the present tense, abides on him. And so you have this constant language of God's wrath, and Jesus, they say, spoke three times more of wrath and judgment than his love. The reason the Bible is so full of this kind of language is, simply put, God has declared war against mankind because of their sin. And that is a warfare that ultimately is going to land many people in the fires of hell. I mean, this is a hard message to proclaim today in our day of inclusive language and being tolerant of everything. And yet the Bible, Christianity, is very exclusive in the message. Jesus talked about the path being narrow and few finding it, as opposed to so many going down this wide path. And so that's Jesus's message. That's God's message to sinners. And that's why we should be somewhat troubled when we have all these people talking about, you know, marriage troubles, children, family finances, all these sorts of things. And those are good application points, but they don't care about the fundamental issue of sinners being in the hands of an angry God. And if we don't sense this need, we don't cry out for a great Savior. You know, here's an excerpt from one of the greatest sermons they say ever preached in America. And this is Jonathan Edwards' Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And this is just a section of that sermon, and I quote it. God is a great deal more angry with great numbers that are now on earth, yea, doubtless, with many that are now in this congregation, who it may be are at ease, than he is with many of those who are now in the flames of hell. The wrath of God burns against them. Their damnation does not slumber. The pit is prepared. The fire is made ready. The furnace is now hot, ready to receive them. The flames do now rage and glow. Their glittering sword is wet and held over them, and the pit hath opened its mouth under them. That was Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You can find that online. They say the most famous sermon ever preached on American soil. And I raise all this today to say, if we have any idea of what it means to be at war with God, that reality should make us all fill with tears and trembling, because what the Bible's message is not that God has a wonderful plan for everyone and loves everyone. The fact is the Bible's message is he is our great and we are enemies of him. He's declared war. Now, against that horrible reality comes the most beautiful words in the whole book. And this is where we always want to place the bad news before the good, because then the good takes on a whole new good, doesn't it? So the most beautiful words come in the whole Bible. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you hear his message to us? That wall of wrath that was against us that we built because of our own sin, he has torn down, and there is peace with him. This is the declaration: war is over, having been justified by faith. Now, that does mean that those who are not justified by faith are still at war with God. Now, do we understand how wonderful such news is? Because what he's saying is simply, this is a peace with God that you never asked for, you never wanted, who were quite content to live as enemies of God, and yet he decided, in his own glorious counsel and in the magnitude of his mercies and grace, to bring this peace for you personally, for no other reason than his wondrous love. And that, of course, is only true for those who have come to Christ in true faith. In verses 6 through 11 of Romans chapter 5, he describes then what I call the objective nature to God's act of reconciling sinners to himself. When I say objective, I'm speaking of what God himself has done, not what we so much experience in peace with God, but the peace, peace of God, but with the peace that we have with him that he has accomplished and brought. And so that is exactly what 2 Corinthians 5:19 speaks of when he says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And so in verse 6, this is what we read. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The first thing we think about here is the fact that the due time was the very point in redemptive history that God nailed his son to the cross and utterly and completely performed the act of reconciliation. Now, we know that this event, this satisfaction, this what we call act of propitiation, satisfying the wrath of God, that's what propitiate means, to satisfy wrath, to appease. This act of propitiation occurred in around the year AD 30, in the month of Nisan, at about the sixth hour of the day, when Jesus hurled forth those words, "It is finished." But what should move us about this passage today, my friends, is this simple statement, "when we were still without strength." That translates, when we were totally powerless, the sense of helpless, totally unable to rescue ourselves, Christ died for the ungodly. To really make sure we understand this, in verse 8 he says, "while we were still sinners, Christ died." And in verse 10, "when we were enemies," again, there's the language, "enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. And much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Do we understand this? He's saying the love of Christ for the Christian is unparalleled. And he gives an example. He interjects, "for a righteous man will one scarcely die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare die." And we know that. Maybe someone would lay down his life to save someone of a good friend or something like that. But he's saying Christ died for us when we were yet sinners and enemies of God. And he's saying the very reality of your faith, and this is where we're going to pick up tomorrow, justifying faith is the assurance for you that you've entered into this relationship of peace with God. That in receiving him by faith, you can be absolutely sure today that what Christ did in AD 30 has brought about true reconciliation between you and the Lord. And that is comforting. This is all about assurance. This is what the gospel brings, assurance of Christ's love for you. And so, having been justified by faith, you have peace with God. Do you have that peace? Believe in Jesus today and know he as the only way of peace that God has given by which a sinner can be right before him.
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us, 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.